Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Well, if you listened to the last program, you probably noticed that Tom Angel seems to have this ability to pick up on things. And he claimed 19 years ago, he died. He was given Novocaine, and it went to his heart. And he was dead for over 6 minutes. And when he came back, and he went to this place that he describes as heaven, and this angelic being, and it's nothing but love over there, which is what I'm hoping if I get over there. This angelic being held his hand, gave him some kind of ability. To make a long story short, he came back. He's been able to heal people. Tom Angels is back with us for our part two of this interview. How are you doing, Tom?
Fine, thanks, TJ. Pleasure to be here.
Now, you live by the Adirondacks, is it called, the Adirondacks?
Actually, in the Adirondack Park.
Now, where is that in New York?
It's up it's about 4 hours from New York City. It's right up in the Adirondack Mountains.
So it's beautiful out there, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Very wide open. You don't have a whole lot of people around you?
No, it's all mountains and valleys. Oh. It's near Schoharie, New York.
Sounds like a beautiful spot.
Oh, it is.
And does that help you reconnect? Do you need to go to those kind of places to reconnect?
Yeah, actually, I'm on the lake here, and I think it really, when you're next to water and wildlife and the whole environment is, it actually is very spiritual, and it's really, it's awesome.
You know, by the way, Tom, and we're going to bring in Jean, who works with me here, and she has a health issue, but the other night after I talked to you, and I don't know if this is connected to you or some things that are going on in my house, but after I got off the phone, 7 deer came into my yard and started eating. Well, that happens. I've never had 7. And then these turkeys, and we've seen them before, they raced into my yard, and there were about 7 or 8 of them, and they chased the deer out of the yard. And not in an aggressive way, but the deer just kind of said, I don't want to stay around here anymore. And I look out, and I've never seen this before, wild turkeys right across from my deck in my driveway. 4 big monstrous ones are eating, gobbling up something. And I thought, I don't know, when you kind of get in this energy, it seems to attract things. Is there anything?
Very much so.
Is there anything to that? Now, I know I have this spirit in my house. I believe I have this spirit that's kind of, I don't want to get into that now. We're going to bring in Jean. She's a coworker. How are you doing, Jean?
Good.
Jean, you want to tell me a little bit about yourself? Tell Tom as well. You have a couple of children. You're married.
I am recently remarried. Got married October 30th of last year, so coming up on my first year anniversary. I have 2 children, Anna, who is 13, and Travis, who is 10.
Now, how long ago did you start having this issue with your sight?
Well, I've had issues with my sight my whole life. I started wearing glasses in kindergarten, but just about 2.5 years ago, I lost sight in my right eye.
Yeah.
And the sight has just progressively gotten worse since then, and just some other issues have come up.
What do you see on that, Tom?
Yeah, I instantly, you know, it's funny when you do a psychic astral projection or a psychic reading. It's beyond words, so as you're describing it, I can actually sense, I'm picking things up in a way that's beyond the physical time, the frame that we're in. And what I get is the optic nerve instantly, without the thought pattern going into it, just the subliminal, the feeling is the optic nerve in the right eye.
Is it the right eye?
Yeah, and I've been, I was diagnosed with optic neuritis.
Okay, that's what I get, and it's, extends way, it's where it's located is back from the eye about 2 inches back, right in that spot there.
Is that, have you heard that diagnosis?
They've never mentioned.
Is this something, I'm sorry, Jean, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, they never mentioned a distance, I don't know.
Is this something that can be corrected, Tom?
Yes.
And how can you go about correcting that?
What I would consider doing it, if you wanted to do it, Jean, is when I do the healings, is I move the energy fields around that area. So it would be on that area of your face, and I would just, my hand is like a torch. It's always hot. So when I start to move the healing, I move the energies in right now it's a yellow color. So I would turn that from yellow to a blue-green and then put it in alignment with the other colors on the face to realign it. And I think what it would do is actually rework the cells in your face. It would actually rejuvenate those cells and actually would help your eye.
Is this something you have to do in person, or can you do this from a distance?
That, I would think, would probably have to be in person because of the transfer of the energy from the heat, from the heat that when I'm doing it around the face would actually have to, you'd have to actually, it would have to go right into your energy field and actually do the healing.
So you guys would have to find a place. Now, how much do you charge to do this, Tom?
I don't charge.
So there's another good thing, Gene.
That's amazing.
Now,
no,
so
I refuse to take money, and I don't do it. I'm not looking to profiteer off of it. I've touched many people. I've flown different places in the United States to help people, and I feel that, you know, if I was ever in need of something, that someone would reach out and do that with me and help me. So I built all these portable families around the United States that, you know, I keep in touch with now because of all the healings I've done.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give Gene your phone number, and I'm
sure.
And I'm guessing the two of you, is that something maybe you want to talk to him about? Yeah, it doesn't hurt to at least talk, and maybe. Now, you said, haven't you told me, though, you've done some stuff over the phone to help people?
I have a few times, and most of those times it really involved just the psychic-type readings and, you know, things like that. But with the healing, to me, I would think because of the energy that I have in my hands and the energy fields, I would rather do that person to person.
Okay. What do you think, Gene?
I think it sounds good.
What did you think of his reading?
Pretty amazing.
That's exactly, you nailed it right on the head, Tom. Now that's pretty good, because you didn't know which eye, you didn't know what it was, and you nailed it right on the head.
Well, it's funny because it's, I've done thousands of psychic readings and thousands of things that, and people just keep saying, how do you do that? How do you do that? And it's like, it's sort of like you're in this different vibration that's so fast that you just pick up that speed and it, you see things that, is beyond our physical world time. It's a different zone that you're in that you pick up this stuff.
And I don't think Gene was in here when we were talking about this, but you've healed, how many people was it again?
I have documented over 47 healing, but I've done hundreds of healings before. And some people I keep in touch with, and others, they go on their way. I don't hear back from them. But
now, these are terminal cases, some of these.
Yes. I actually had some that were in their last stage of cancer, given 30 to 60 days to live, and it's been 8-9 years ago, and they're still alive today.
Well, go ahead. Ask questions, Gene. Okay. You want to ask some questions?
I am going to a new doctor on Tuesday for a possible clear lens extraction in both eyes. I mean, he's got to examine my eyes to see if this is even a possibility. I mean,
I don't get a good feeling with it. You know, my instant, my what I feel. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's. That's. I tell people the way I feel. If I feel it's a good energy, I'll tell them. If I don't, then I'll tell them. But I don't. Uh-huh. I don't pick up a feeling that it would be positive. I don't think it would happen.
I don't either.
Isn't that funny?
What else do you have, Gene? Fire away.
No,
Tom is here.
That was, I was just wondering about that appointment on Tuesday.
So maybe,
yeah,
go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I don't feel it. It's right. I don't think it's, the conditions are right for that, and I don't think it will happen. I don't get that. And I think, you know, I would think that the healing process, the natural healing process with the energies and the, would probably be a better solution for what you have.
Mm-hmm. What do you have to lose, really? All she's got to do is find some time to either come see you or a way for the two of you to find a place where. How long would it take to heal something like that?
Like that is probably like 30 to 45 minutes.
30 to 45 minutes of your time, Gene. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to hurt her in any way,
yeah.
Right?
Never. No, it's like, and I actually encourage people to come watch if they want to. I've had many people around me as I was healing, and it's really it really doesn't take long. I've had some cancer patients that have asked me to come back two or three times, and I just did a healing from a girl up here in New York, and she went from a 900 count to a 150 PSA count for her cancer test.
So it came way down.
Oh, it's almost gone. Yeah, it's just about gone, and she was in the fifth stage of cancer, and it's just about gone.
So really, what you're saying, Tom, is that just about any disease or anything we get can be changed, can it?
I work primarily on the cancer side of things, but I would like to experiment with other projects that would be encompassing other diseases. I haven't tried a multiple different arena, but it would be an interesting concept to see if it does work.
Now, didn't you tell me, just to explain maybe a little to Gene here, something to do with a person's aura energy is not quite right?
Yeah, when you look at the body and there's an illness, you'll actually see a yellow, I see it, I mean, I know everybody can't see this, but I see a yellow color in the infected area of the body, and I compare it to like the ozone layer of the earth. So in order to heal that, you have to seal that ozone layer around the body so that the infection, so that the energy levels will all be consistent with the healing energy, which is the blue-green color of the aura. So as I'm healing, I move the yellow color out of the body and bring the blue-green together and basically suture the energies together. That's what causes the healing of the cancer.
That's amazing. And I've heard people do that before. How do you feel with something like that, Gene? I mean, this is something different than you probably heard.
It is. It's hard to imagine, hard to, you know, understand, but it's interesting,
is
exciting.
It something, and not to put you on the spot or anything, is this something you'd think about maybe pursuing?
I would think about it.
Good. Well, is there anything more you have for Tom?
No, I don't think so.
I will give you his phone number, and I guess I'll leave it up to you if you want to move forward on this.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming.
Pleasure. Up. Pleasure meeting you, Gene.
You too.
Thank you.
Well, you did nail it pretty much on the head what Jean's condition was, and she had a surprised look on her face when you said that. And I thought, well, if you can help her, I think that would be great. And you know, it's up to people to follow that pursuit. You know, I think so many people, you must find this too, their doctor tells them one thing, and modern science and medicine tells us, and they don't want to go against that because they think that's the only way and this person has all the answers. And I find that they really don't. And they almost should admit that they don't have the answers. We kind of put all this faith in them, and they really don't, they can't always help us. And so it's hard for people to accept somebody that's an alternative healer, if you want to call it that.
And it's really, you know, when I meet these families, it's a difficult time for them, and it's a sad time, and they're reaching for hope, and they're doing anything they can to stay alive, to stay with their loved ones, and no matter what it is, radiation, chemo. But what I find is it's very simple. All it is the energy fields, and I've seen this over and over again where you go in and I do this healing around their body, and then they go to the doctors, and the doctor looks at the chart, and he thinks that he made a mistake in the diagnosis because one day it's there and the next day it's not. And I hear this over and over again, and it's just the basic element of just healing the aura around the body. It has nothing to do with just keep by putting the drugs into that body like they are. To me, they look like they're just putting toxins in the body, and this is just putting the energy back into the body and re-suturing the aura, which actually works much better from what I've seen over the years.
So in another way of doing this, saying what you're doing, are you basically filling them with love again?
Yeah, it's all encompassing love with the spiritual world and the spiritual energies that are around at the time of the healings, and it's a vibration that it's all positive, and it just, you know, the people feel great after the healing. A lot of people at the times they'll close their eyes and they say, I feel different, and they don't have words for it, but then they feel tired after the healing because so much transfer of energy, and then they go to the doctors and they hear the great news and they call loved ones, and before I know it, I've got three or four other people calling me. So I have all these portable families keep coming
right
in.
And that's got to feel pretty good on your part, right?
It really does. I mean, it's really good to give back and to help people in need.
What type of person were you before you died? Were you a generous, good-hearted spirit?
That's an excellent question. Before I passed on, I had gone to 6 years of college. I had degrees in accounting and management, and I was in the Fortune 500 world. I was very scientific with my thoughts, and I needed to see that the debits equal the credits and so forth. When this metaphysical happening happened to my life and I had died, everything changed. Everything changed from from being scientific to being open-minded and allowing everything to what I had experienced. I wanted to share it. I wanted to tell so many people that I got to see heaven and what I saw there, and then to magnify that, to come back and to do the healings and reach out to so many people. It's been totally awesome, and it's just amazing how you change. It's 100%.
You weren't the spiritual person. Did you believe in God beforehand?
Yeah, I had believed in God, and I had, you know, gone to church, and I had listened to a lot of, you know, the preachers and everything talk about spiritualism. But when it happens to you, there's so many things that you stand beside yourself and you look at, like, this is what it's really about. And what it's about is love. It's about helping each other and working together. And without love, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can bring that love back from heaven and you can help people in situations where their loved ones are about to die and you're giving back them another hope, and you give that hope and they see it, and it's just amazing. It's wonderful.
And do you think part of that too, Tom, is that when they see that, what you've done, no charge,
right?
Do they maybe in turn do things for others on top of that?
Yeah, I think so. It's like play it forward. It's like someone helps one person, they do it as well. And I think the change, what they've seen and how it's happened. I had a case where the male was about 37 years old, and his children were on the couch crying. They said, "We don't want to lose our dad. Can you save our dad?" And you get into situations like that, and it touches your heart. And I worked with him for three different episodes, and then I didn't hear from him for a year. I didn't hear from him. The phone didn't ring. And then just before Easter, his wife called me and said, "We wanted to let you know that we're going to talk at church about how an angel came to our house and healed their father and my husband."
Mm.
And the cancer is completely gone. And he was in the fifth stage of cancer. He was jaundiced yellow, and he's fine now.
So you really didn't get the credit for that one, but that's okay. You don't need the credit, do you?
No, it's great because they were referring to me as the angel that came to their house to help with the angels I brought with me.
But they weren't about to admit that publicly, were they?
No, they actually did. They opened up.
They did.
Church.
They told that you were the one responsible for it.
Yes, they did go into church and they said, you know, Tom, angels came here and came to our house, and they explained it. And I talked to him for about 3 hours on the phone, and, you know, it was a tearful conversation with him. He's like, you know, without the help, without the inspiration, you know, and the prayer and the spirits that I had brought with me to help heal him, he probably wouldn't be here today.
Let me ask you this, Tom. Have there ever been people that you haven't been able to help?
There was an incident that I recall where that's an excellent question. I had one where I did heal of cancer, okay, and then he had a cardiac arrest at night and he passed on. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think destiny, if someone is meant to go, they're going to go. And he was so ecstatic. He's like, you know, I'm healed. I went to the Moffitt Center, the cancer center. He said, I'm cleared of it. And then it wasn't 2 weeks later, he had a cardiac arrest in his sleep and he died. And I'm like, it's very sad because you put all this energy to help the family and then the person just passes anyways. And sometimes, you know, it may not be the cancer. It may be something else that they pass on with.
Well, you know, I always kind of believed this for a long time, and it really rings true to me. One, we have destiny. We kind of map our own course, or with the help of others around us. So we can learn the most we can get out of life. But two, we make changes on the fly. While we're here, our attitudes and our actions affect our life and our time here. So I may have had an original plan to live for a certain length of time, but I might have shortened it by some of my attitudes in life and brought some of these illnesses and diseases to myself. Is that something that you can understand or you think goes on as well?
Oh, absolutely. I believe that 100% that there's, you know, attitude is everything with life and the environments that we are in, you know, from the marriage situations to how we look at life and how we view things. And the stress is a lot that brings on a lot of illnesses, I feel. If people can meditate, take some time out every day and just do other things that are good and positive things and happy.
Would you recommend, Tom, that we try to find things that give us great joy?
Yes, absolutely. It really exemplifies their people's lives, and it gives a positive aura. It's the negativity, and I think a lot of it compounded with how the physical world, with the news and a lot of things that surround it, and with the goodness of the things that are out there, it actually the happiness actually brings the lifeline. More people, you know, it makes them happier and healthier, is what I'm trying to say.
So do you believe there's like a battle between like the darkness and then the love, the light energy? Do you think there's some of that going on?
I do. I really do. In a lot of the situations I've been in, I've seen where there is the dark and the light, the white, and you try to change that. You try to talk to the families. You try to make them, you know, to understand the other side and exemplify that it's all positive and hopefully it leaves a good connotation with them.
But it's really a choice that we all have, isn't it? We all have this freedom.
Yes, it's absolutely.
To go whatever direction. Now, let me ask you this. See how this is my own personal curiosity. Mm-hmm. I think we all come from the same place, even the ones that are sitting in the darkness right now. Mm-hmm. And I think we are energy at our core. And we all go on, regardless of what path we choose. It just may take us a little longer or a lot longer to find our way back. What do you see of the darkness? Where do they go? I mean, what are they from?
That's excellent. That's an awesome question. Excellent. And I've been asked that before. I have come in some situations, I've come into contact where I have seen some black energies. And I saw one recently. And I think that, you know, this is my own personal view. It's nothing I've read on or anything. But what I feel is I think that there are some dark spirits out there, and they can manifest themselves in different people to cause them to act ways that aren't normally understandable in our society. So I think they can come into a weak spirit and be that way.
What do you think happens to these beings? I mean, some people will say that there's going to come a day when they're going to be cast into hell. And again, this is a personal reflection. What do you feel about all that, Tom?
I think there is. I think there is a heaven, and I do think there is a hell. I've witnessed some spiritual things that I've seen, and I've seen some very dark energies. And I think there are two separate areas. I really do. I mean, if I hadn't experienced firsthand what I had seen, I would be, you know, if they had all been positive and all, you know, I would say there is one heaven, but I have seen two different.
There is a dark place.
Yes, I totally agree with it. And I think there's energies that stay here in the physical world that I think some of the, you see some of these people that do things that don't make any sense at all, and crimes, for example, or just, you know, violence and things that just doesn't add up. It doesn't mm-hmm. make any sense normally. And I think what happened is that weak spirit got taken over by an evil spirit, and they've gotten into that shell.
Is there any hope? Did I lose you, Tom? Are you still there?
No, I'm here. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Is there any hope for somebody to turn that around then?
I think that they can. I think if they fight against it, I think they can win, absolutely. I think they can change and make another direction in their life to be positive and just fight that darkness and turn around without a doubt.
Let me ask you this, Tom, because Mindy, she's all excited now. She came back in the studio.
Great.
Sorry.
No,
hi,
don't
Mindy.
Be. No, don't be. She just thought of something, and this is really good because we've talked about, her and I have talked about a lot of things over the years.
Great.
Go ahead, Mindy. What question do you have?
I just want to know, do you see anything about people's past lives? Because I have.
Yes.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
And are you able to pick up anything about mine?
Your past life?
Mm-hmm.
Tell them what your issue is, Mindy.
Well, I have this, I have lots of weird phobias, but one of my main ones is I don't like having my feet covered, whether it be by dark colored socks I can't wear, and I can't have them covered underneath blankets because I feel like I can't breathe. And TJ and I always talk, he's like, well, maybe, you know, maybe something happened in your past and that's why, or maybe you're just weird.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question. And a lot of times that's where phobias come from, is our previous lifetime. And unless you understand the roots of where we come from, we don't understand why things are the way they are today. And, you know, what I get instantly without thinking about it or dragging it on is I get colonial times, and I get not having, you know, not wearing the shoes, because at that time that, you know, they were in a society where you're walking around and the feet were exposed to the coldness, and I get, that's what I get, like, it, you know, the exposure of the feet to the weather at that time back 260 some years ago.
Oh, okay.
And did it cause her to lose her feet or toes, or do you know anything like that? Or?
Yeah, I see. You know, I see the walk. I see like a walk. I'm getting Massachusetts. I'm getting in that area up in that time back in colonial America, and I'm getting the instant things that I'm picking up is actually walking without the shoes, without that, people are trying to, you're wanting to cover up your feet, but then you're saying, no, I'm okay. Let the children use those wraps for their feet. You know, put the socks on them and not on me. And you're kind of, this is what I'm picking up, you know. And there's a walking away from a settlement to another settlement in the middle of the winter time.
And did it cause her, was it part of her, like something that ended her life at the time? Or was it something that caused her to have foot problems? Or
I think the foot problems with the numbness of the toes. The toes were, the feet were cold. Do you feel that? Do you ever feel that, Mindy? Like, do your feet get cold sometimes? Like, they just, that's not normal?
My feet are always cold.
There you go. Okay.
But I can't stand to have them covered up or anything. And there, the second I get home, I take my socks off.
Exactly. That's what it's reflecting, is that time. And I felt the coldness. I felt that your feet with the cold would be in this vibration, too, because you're, and you would rather sacrifice your feet to help out the children that were there at that time than to put them on your own feet, to wrap your own feet up. So that's why you keep them exposed.
How could she move past this? Do you know?
I would say just do the opposite. You know, do the opposite of what you were doing then, and then, you know, put the socks on and, you know, do things like that that you don't normally do, and keep your feet warm.
I can't. I feel like I can't breathe them.
I know. But you got to fight it, you know. I have people that they're afraid to go swimming. I was like, just go swimming. Put a bait. You know, and when you overcome that, you actually, it's so much relief. It's so much better. And then you feel better about it, you know.
Yeah.
So I think doing that, practice that, and that'll make a big difference. You'll feel it, too.
I was going to say, Tom, some people, and I've heard this from more than one therapist, or people that, you know, are able to go back and recall past life memories. More than one person has told me that if a person goes back and relives the moment, they will overcome it a lot easier. What do you feel about that?
I think that's true. I think that's 100% accurate. I think if they could do that, bring them back into that time and then change it in their mind, it would cause them to recorrect where they're going today and actually get over that phobia, without a doubt.
Is there any way Mindy can go back on her own and try to recall some of these things?
I think now that there's a definition to it, I think now is to, it will go away. The phobia will disappear now that you can just, you know, start wearing the socks and start, especially with winter coming up too, it'll be a great experiment, you know, to see what happens. But I think it will, the phobia will be broken. It'll just be time to do it, you know.
Okay.
Going back to that time period, and I don't know how much you want to talk about this. We're just out of time.
Do
you know much about Mindy's life that you could share with her? Maybe that's just for the interest part of it.
I get a really, just by her voice, you know, from what I get and from where you are, I get a very genuine, a very honest, a very very positive person, always doing good for others and looking at herself to come second in what she does, and helping, a very helping person and very, very credible person.
And you don't see anything of her lifetime? Was she married? Did she have 7 children or that kind of thing?
That's funny.
Let's hope not.
No, I see a good life, a good healthy life, and I see a positive situation. I don't get anything, a vibration that's a negative energy with me.
So you don't feel that she was carrying a lot over from that time?
No. I don't think that with the relationship parts of it or anything like that. No, I get with the phobia, but not with a relationship.
Let me
very
ask you this.
Very strong-willed person, a lot of positive things. I get a lot of things very fast, you know.
Let me ask you this. The people, do you, I don't know if you can see this right now from where you're at, if you'd have to go into a deeper state, but are there people from that time period that are around her now?
I don't feel that. I think that's separated. The distance and the time from that has been separated. I think there's more spirits of within the past 10 to 20, 5 to 20 years in 10 to 20 years that have, that are still around Mindy, but I don't think from that time, no. There's a distance gap between, there's too far of a distance, and that has been broken up into other segments right now.
What about, and Mindy, I hope you don't mind me asking this stuff.
No, I don't, I'm open book.
What about her most recent time on that she was here? When would that be?
Oh, before she was born into this life, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
All I feel is, you know what I feel is in, like interior decorating type stuff. I'm getting like very into color, into the, you know, redoing type of upholstery and redoing things. I see a factory, early 1900s, and a lot to do with making linens and things like that. But I see that kind of an interest that follows into today's segment where, you know, the interest of being drawn to these different types of fabrics. And I see a strength in interior decoration.
And Mindy, I see a look on your face. What's that?
Well, when he said that I'm drawn to certain types of fabrics, I have a huge obsession with blankets. But they have to be like extremely soft material, and I'll buy them, and I have tons of them, and right. I'm obsessed with them.
Yeah, because at the time in the early 1900s, you were actually in the factory that was manufacturing those blankets, and I picked that up, and that's why you're drawn to it today, because of that connection. And you might not know that in the physical world, but that's what happened, you know.
Would you suggest, Tom, that people learn more about who they were at a previous time? Can it benefit us in any way?
Absolutely. I think it goes right back to the roots of anything in life. And if you understand your previous life, you understand why you're doing things today that you normally wouldn't understand, that you might want to go into reenactment of the Civil War. And you don't know why, but you're drawn to that. But if you were defined and you knew how come or what kind of soldier you were, and all that comes into play, and then you can understand why you are into those interests.
Let me ask you this, Tom. Is this something you can you help people over the phone with this?
Many times I can, yes. But a lot of times I'll do the seances, and I'll go 4, 5, 6 hours into the night. And when the people are around in the room, it's really great. We can get 100% connection into the spiritual world, into the past lives, into a lot of variety of things.
People are becoming more aware, aren't they?
Oh, I think... And that's what it is, and they should. I really think that's something that the direction of where the world is going is that way, the positiveness and the spiritualism, and it's an awesome, awesome thing, and it's all about love and helping others and working together, and it's all positive.
And there's no conditions, are there?
There's no conditions. There's no prejudices. There's no negativity. It's all reaching each other like brothers and sisters and opening up the doors that they may not have able to open themselves or understand why things are happening around them.
Tom Angels, if you want to find out more about Tom, it's tomangels.com. And I really look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Thank you, TJ. It's a pleasure being on your show.
Out there, created by Kevin MacLeod.